Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
In the past hour, Ireland's double medal winner, Róisín Éireann, has continued her quest for Paralympic glory, qualifying for this evening's final in the SB13 100-metre breaststroke with the third fastest qualifying time overall. And the final will be live at 6:30 on RTE2 television this evening. From Paris, we're joined now by Minister of State for Tourism, Sport, Culture and the Gaeltacht Fianna Fáil's Thomas Byrne. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire.
Good news for Róisín Éireann and hopefully more to come later on.
Well, oh, look, she's already achieved a huge amount, so it's just great to see her qualify for the final this evening and certainly wish her well. She's really just a tremendous athlete, tremendous example to everybody as to what she can achieve, along with other athletes who've not just medalled here in Paris, but also who've got here, because getting here, you have to excel at your sport. And I think it's important to remember that. And these are elite athletes who've done really, really well throughout the course of their careers, and it's just wonderful. And so proud, really, I am. I think everybody is to see them here in Paris, and particularly to see those who are on the podium at the end. There's nothing better, and I said this before, than hearing Aron Levine at an Olympics or a Paralympics.
Yep, it gets the best of us, I think, when we see that moment. But one of the government commitments off the back of the success, particularly in the pool, in the Olympics and the Paralympics, is these new and improved pools and training facilities. How quickly can they be delivered?
Well, look, I mean, I've said on the infrastructure that swimming pools are a deficit. I've also said that League of Ireland football is a deficit as well. There's no question about that. We have recently published a new swimming strategy, which we worked on with Swim Ireland and with Active Disability and other organisations as well in the area. We'll be publishing a national sports strategy in the coming weeks as well. And I think that's really important. So what we're doing is we have, in fairness, I negotiated significant funds for the Sports Capital Programme and the large scale sports infrastructure fund. We'll be announcing that there's a process ongoing at the moment in terms of the applications for that. Now, the challenge I have is that while on the sports capital side of the programme, we've had record applications, I should be able to meet that demand to the greatest extent possible. It won't be 100%, but I think we will do very, very well on that. On the large scale funds, we have a budget of 120 million. We have applications totaling 660 million. So I will be going, and I have spoken to government colleagues about increasing that fund to some extent, because clearly swimming pools and other large scale projects are a priority and they're expensive and we need them.
How close to the 660 do you think you're going to get?
I don't know how close we'll get, and not all of those projects really will be feasible or are ones that can be implemented in the short in a quick period of time. But there are clearly deficits in terms of swimming pools, and there are deficits in terms of sports facilities. But we have seen record investment going into sports facilities. The investment that I'll be announcing in the coming weeks will be an even bigger record investment in funding, but we want to meet the demand to the greatest extent possible, and I'll continue to work with government colleagues to see how we do that.
Yeah.
What we're looking to do in the budget as well, apart from the expenditure side, which obviously is key, is to make some changes on the tax side as well, which the sporting bodies have been looking for, to make it more attractive for people to give to sports organisations, as happens around the world. And this is something that has come from the sports bodies. And Minister McGrath announced in the budget last year that this is being examined by the Department of Finance with a view to sort of creating a space for philanthropy as well to add to record government investment. And I think this is something that I've been discussing with Minister Chambers as well in the context of the budget that's coming up the next few weeks too.
Okay, and just on the budget, we see this morning in the Irish Daily Mail that your party leader, Micheál Martin, is promising that child benefit will be increased this year. But earlier on the programme, we were just talking about the ESRI report, which shows over 200,000 children who are in material deprivation. And that report found the best way to sort that out is a targeted second tier of child benefit for the most vulnerable. Do you think that that is the way forward, that there is call for that?
Well, I'm not certain, because, I mean, one of the holy grails of the welfare system was a universal child benefit. And there's been a lot of studies done over the years. And again, I'm open to consideration on all of this. But it is a fact that there are a lot of studies done over the years where it was found that the best way to address child poverty was to have an across-the-board child benefit. That was what everybody across the political system believed at the time. And the argument against having a second tier is that it becomes very expensive to administer the means testing that would be required. And you can, when you say target, that sounds great, but what it means is then huge extra cost in terms of administering and making, you know, adding up people's means and examining and inspecting people's means and all of that. So I really believe that the child benefit has been absolutely critical to dealing with child poverty. Obviously, the country's had a lot of challenges in the last number of years in terms of people coming into the country, et cetera. And we've got to make sure that we look after every single child in this country. And that's what we're determined to do. And in the context of the budget, I think the child benefit hasn't risen in a long time to any significant degree.
2011.
I think that has to happen. And that, in my opinion, and again, this will all be considered in the context of the budget, is the best way to address child poverty by having that universal payment, because nobody knows any particular family's general circumstances. And that's the whole point of the child benefit, is to make sure that we can lift people out of poverty. But there's lots of other measures we can do to lift people out of poverty. Housing is obviously a top priority for the government, the health service as well, and making sure that we have jobs in the economy as well, that the jobs in themselves can lift people out of poverty, but they also provide the taxation as well to the government to make sure that we can address that. And I would say, though, that income inequality in Ireland over the last number of years has dropped considerably. If you look at the measures of income inequality, we are a more equal society. It's not perfect, I won't say that, than we were a number of decades ago. And that's, I would say, under this government, the budgets have been very progressive.
Well, look, you can't, but we are talking about, you know, research done by the ESRI, which has found 230,000 children that don't have things like two good pairs of shoes or a waterproof warm coat.
And I'm saying that all of this would be considered in the context of the budget, and that when you look at where the country has come from, I think we've made massive improvements in that, and we can always have room for further improvement, and we're determined to do that and to have the fairest budgets possible. And if you look at the budgets that this government has introduced, the people on the lowest incomes have benefited more than people on higher incomes. And that's what we're about. It's about fairness, about making sure that we are trying to give people the best possible opportunities in life. Mm-hmm. And budgets in this country have done that, and this one will continue to do that.
Listen, ahead of the budget as well, we also hear from Jack Chambers that there won't be any new supports for landlords. So is that an admission, and we saw this in figures back in August, that this so-called exodus of landlords from the rental market, that that's a myth, but it was used to secure tax breaks for people who appear now to have been involved in a very profitable industry?
No, I don't think it's about the exit as a landlord's being a myth. I think landlords have left the market. But it is a recognition. The fact is that, as you just said, there have been supports given to landlords. So I'm not sure that there's further scope for those supports for landlords. What we want to make sure and do is protect all sectors of society. That's what the government is about. We have given support to tenants under various budgets, and I think we want to increase those supports. That's certainly what I would like to do. But landlords have already received a taxation benefit, and I'm not sure that we can bring that any further. I think that's as far as a government could go. Mm-hmm. I think that's trying to be fair to everybody in society. And I think tenants, I think, clearly need more support. They've got support, and that's where I'd like to see the focus in this year's budget.
Well, there looks to be now money for pensioners, money in child benefit, tax breaks. Really does look now as though we're going to see a giveaway budget here. And the Fiscal Advisory Council has warned repeatedly about overheating an economy that's already successful. This everything everywhere all at once approach is a dangerous thing to do.
No, well, certainly in the context of sport, I can say, like, while I'll be making very large announcements in the next few weeks, the reality is that that money gets drawn down over a lengthy period of time. It's not going to happen all at once, and there certainly won't be any, you know, these projects won't happen all on day one, and the money won't be spent then. And I think that we're very, very conscious of making sure that we protect the gains that we've made, and that we don't take unnecessary risks to the economy. And I think Jack Chambers has spoken about that as well. So we're deeply cognizant of all the advice that we're getting. What we've been, I suppose, every year, oh, you're going to do this, you're going to cause this. We've shown that this government actually has produced a very stable and growing economy. That's what our focus is on, but while at the same time protecting the people of the country as well, and making sure that we work as hard for every section of society. We're going to continue that progress, continue to make those gains, and we certainly, I can absolutely guarantee you, this government in Fianna Fáil will not take any risks with our economy.
Okay, so you just continue to ignore the Fiscal Advisory Council?
We're not going to continue to ignore anybody. What we'll do is make sure we take the best possible decisions, cognizant of all the advice that we're receiving, and make sure that we protect the gains and not take any unnecessary risk. And that's certainly something that Fianna Fáil is very deeply committed to.
Tourism is also in your remit, Minister, and you've seen the high profile restaurant closures in recent weeks and months. Do you concede now that the VAT rate should be 9%?
Well, tourism is in my department, but it's not my, I'm not responsible for tourism, but clearly I'm part of the government. What I would say on the VAT rate, I mean, the restaurants and the hotels and those people advocating for it, they make a good case in the sense that they have obviously higher costs and business is tough. However, and I've said this when I've met them, the costs of that particular tax break are just extremely high. And it's very easy to look for that tax break. And we certainly, you know, want to be as you know, good as we can on the tax side and as progressive as we can on the tax side. But the costs of that are just absolutely massive. And that's the challenge. And the challenge is, if you want to give any tax break, that you have to say, well, where is the cost of that going to come from? Is there any expenditure that you'd have to cut or not increase because of that? So all of these decisions we made in the run-up to the budget, it's the easiest thing in the world to call for something. But when Jack Chambers and Pascal Donoghue are making up the budget numbers, they then have to add things up to see where things cost. So nothing is ruled out in the context of the budget, but everything has to be paid for.
Okay, that's not a dead cert then, according to what you've just said. Listen, Minister, I want to ask you about what we've been hearing in relation to the scoping inquiry about child abuse in religious-run schools. There has been a different row ongoing between the Taoiseach, Simon Harris, and your own colleague, the Health Minister, Stephen Donnelly, in relation to the Michael Shine report. Now, we know that Michael Shine, serial paedophile, abused boys for decades in Our Lady of Lourdes Hospital in Drogheda. Do you believe Stephen Donnelly should publish that report? Should the government then go even further in response to the survivors in that case?
Well, I don't think there's any row, first of all, between Simon Harris and Stephen Donnelly on this issue. There was a different nuance in two different interviews as to which particular department was responsible for something. That's the end of it. What we've got to do in this is focus not on the politicians, but on the victims of abuse. And that's what I want to do. And there's clearly quite a lot. We've had a discussion the last couple of days about victims of educational abuse. There's a huge number of victims of this particular individual who has been jailed in some of the cases and not in others. I'm not sure there's any particular policy reason why Stephen Donnelly isn't publishing it.
Well, he says it's legal reasons. He said it's not a healthcare issue. And then the Taoiseach said in response, tolerance for ministers pushing responsibility to other departments.
Sorry, I mean, I didn't hear that interview, but my understanding of it was that this was been a bit maybe too matter of fact. I mean, Stephen is very matter of fact, and I think it served the health service well in that technically it's responsibility of the Department of Justice. I think everybody is above that now. I certainly want to see a commission of investigation, a statutory inquiry into that. Into what happened there, because there was too much went on, too much covered up. There have been some reports done on the issue. There have been criminal cases taken, some successful, some unsuccessful, and there has been redress to some extent as well. But I think what the victims have said, and again, we have to be focused on the victims of abuse. The victims have said that they want closure on this, and some of them feel that the only way they can get closure is having this statutory inquiry. And I think that we should have this, because we certainly don't want to see a repeat of what was allowed to happen when particular individuals become too dominant in the system. Everybody knew that doctor in the hospital. Everybody assumed the particular doctor ran the hospital. That was the way things were in the 70s, 80s, and to some extent in the 90s as well, in Our Lady of Lourdes.
So for you, a statutory inquiry is the answer.
I think it's very I think it is something. Now, again, if there are legal reasons there, if there's criminal cases, then we have to look to that. But as a matter of basic principle, and it's the same with the school situation, we have to put the victims and their needs first.
Yeah, on
the, and
on
this
that,
is what they have told us that they need.
Okay, Archbishop Dermot Martin, who we spoke to earlier in the programme, suggested that there should be a lead person in government to take responsibility for the issue of child abuse in schools, for that matter, to make sure that the right thing is done by the religious orders and the state when it comes to compensation and redress. Do you think, given the scale of it now, what we've seen this week, that that is the answer?
Well, I didn't hear what Archbishop Martin said, and I don't really understand it. I mean, as I understand, Minister Norma Foley has taken a lead on this in terms of the education department. And I think I have to say it's very welcome, because it is a change to the education department in some respects. Yes, they have started, I think, with the industrial schools. Micheál Martin kind of led on that. But up to that point, and even now, schools in Ireland are very much independent, and the education system, the department funds teachers and funds exams and different things like that. But they haven't really taken a sort of a hands-on approach within schools. And I think that this is a noticeable progress. I think it's very important. I think I welcome the leadership that Norma Foley has given on this. I think that's very important. So I would see that. But all of government works with the interests of victims in mind. And look, let's see where this process brings us. But I think so far, I think Minister Foley has shown that she's putting a victims first approach and is very carefully considering every step of the way, which I think you have to do when you're making decisions in the context of the horrors that happened here.
All right, Minister of State Thomas Byrne, thank you very much for joining us on the programme. Back after this.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.